I want to pause and just remind you, if you're not aware, of our Who's Your One wall in the education wing of the church. If you leave here, turn left, and turn immediately right, you'll see it on the wall there. And that wall represents people that you're praying for, that I'm praying for, specifically that we would have a gospel conversation with them. And you'll see their initials or names or they're tagged to different panels in the wall. If you've not done that, do that. Remind your Sunday school leaders to pray for the names on the Who's Your One wall. Just pray for all of them at once every Sunday morning that we would have fruitful gospel conversations with them as well. The reason I thought about this is I put two names on the wall this week, two folks I met this week that God brought my way and had great fruitful conversations, and I'm praying that I'll have a gospel conversation, that those fruitful, how are you doing, what are you all about kind of conversations will turn into opportunities, and that God will use that in their lives. So I want to encourage you to do the same. Put those names on the Who's Your One wall, and if you've done that already, you've got them on a panel, if they make a faith decision, if they make a move in that direction, move them to the white panel, and we'll know to celebrate as well the decisions that they make. And again, I remind you of the deacon nominations following the worship hour. Please stay and participate in that. It's a very important time in the life of our church as God raises up leaders in the midst of First Baptist Church that will lead us forward the next few years. Find in your Bible with me one more time, Colossians chapter 1, as we're there once again in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off last time. This time we'll be reading from verse 21. As the Apostle Paul moves out of the majestic exposition he's given us of Jesus Christ as Lord of creation, Lord of the church, and Lord of our salvation, the reminder that that is the core of our faith and everything else follows that. Understanding who Jesus is means we understand what Christianity is, what that's about. It's also a reminder that just like the Colossians of their time, many of us in our time and in our culture, we face what amounts to just bad teaching. It's unbiblical, even within the Christian church at times. There's teaching that claims to be Christian, but in fact is not. And that was the problem with the Colossians, as they were hearing, brand new believers hearing all kinds of things and trying to get a grasp of what was right and what was true. So Paul reminds them, always start with who Jesus is and then move from there. But also because of that, he wants to remind them with the pressure on the outside, pushing in with bad teaching and with problems in their relationships, they need to remain steadfast in their faith, grounded, he says, in the gospel. So look at this with me, Colossians 1, verse 21. Paul says, "Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it." I want to pause here and break down for you four key words in that passage. There are four words that everything else he says in this passage hinges on, and really much of what he's going to say going forward in the letter to the Colossians also hinge on these four words. The first and most obvious one is the gospel. He says it twice. The gospel is the hub of everything Paul believes. The gospel is that term is a summary of what we believe about Jesus Christ and what we believe about being a Christian. The gospel is the good news that God himself came to earth, the Son of God in Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for us. God raised him from the grave. The good news is because of the work of Christ, you and I too can be saved, forgiven, and have eternal life. The gospel is the teaching that we believe and which informs everything else we believe and everything else we do. So the first term there to underscore is the gospel. The second term to underscore is the faith. He says to stay grounded and steadfast in the faith. Now, in the Greek New Testament, the original writers used actually three different words that we translate into English as faith. But they have different nuances about them. And this particular one, it's correct to have a definite article, the faith, that definite article in front of it. because this is the term and this is the context where Paul means the faith, that is, the things that we believe, what make us Christians. These are objective truths that are Christianity. These are the things that the faith makes it the faith. It makes it Christianity. And you can't discard any of these and still claim to be a Christian. A good example would be a Christian or a person who claims to be a Christian and says, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Well, Paul says, you're not a Christian. Because to hold to the faith means to hold to these objective historical truths about Jesus Christ and about the gospel. Which brings us to the two terms we're going to use to talk the most about this morning, to be grounded and to be steadfast. To be grounded and to be steadfast. It's quite obvious what Paul's leading to is, in order to be grounded and steadfast in the faith, is to know the faith, to know the gospel, and to believe the gospel. But in all the times that it's tough to be steadfast, which it sometimes is. And see, Paul's point is that the faith results in your faith. The faith results in your faith. To the extent that you believe the faith, the Christian principles and applications and historical facts, to that extent, your faith will be strong. Your faith will be invested in the gospel and in Jesus Christ. But even so, sometimes we waffle and we wane, we feel weak in our particular faith, because then it becomes subjective. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why aren't you answering those prayers? God, I'm not sure if this is what I should be doing. God, is this how you're leading me? God, why is this happening to my loved one, to my friend? Your faith. And Paul says, in your faith and in my faith, we need to remember to be grounded and steadfast. Again, two different words, but important in the context of your faith when you're feeling like you're struggling. The first term, grounded, refers to the foundation of your faith. It's what you stand on. It's the strength of it that's unmoving beneath the feet of your faith. You're grounded there. These are the things that you believe that will never change. To be steadfast is to be unwavering while you're grounded. It means I stand on these truths of the faith and I'm unwavering. Nothing can push me away. Nothing can make me get off of my grounding and get away from that. I want to insert right here, by the way, as you'll read in our newsletter in August, and as I've already mentioned, coming up in late August and September, our 2030 team will be rolling out our new statements and our values. And one of those values, which you'll hear a lot from now on going forward, is that we are anchored in the truth. We are anchored in God's truth. We believe, we teach, and we live God's truth. That's going to be a value, a core value of First Baptist Church. Same idea. We are grounded in the truth. That's the foundation that never shifts or changes. So when we are pushed against by problems or by issues or by struggles, we stay steadfast in our faith. We're unwavering because we're grounded. What kind of things can push against you? What kind of things can jeopardize your walk with Christ, can make you feel weak in your faith? What kind of things are we talking about when we talk about strengthening your core? What makes you weak in your faith? Well, they really can fall under three different categories, pretty much all the time. Three different categories. One is personal problems. Those are the struggles that you have in your life that maybe you didn't expect. It's sickness, it's heartache, it's financial crises. They're personal struggles in your life, and you just didn't expect those at all. Sometimes those struggles are with the faith. Sometimes those struggles actually come in the form of solid Christian beliefs, and then you have a hard time with that belief. They're personal problems. Another is pressure from the outside. The chaos and the struggle we see all the time in our world. The ideologies that press against us and what we believe and what you believe. Maybe it's people at work that cause that to happen, or it's the schools, or it's someone in your neighborhood that challenges what you believe in your faith, but it's pressure from the outside. And then the third is people on the inside. Sometimes, God bless them, people in church are the problem. People on the inside can hurt you. People on the inside don't behave as you think Christians should. And a number of factors, you understand, go along with that. But whatever the circumstances, whatever the season, whatever the condition, stay steadfast in your faith, Paul says. Stay steadfast in your faith. Paul gives us three ways to help us stay steadfast in our faith. So if you're one of those people this morning, you're struggling with difficulties in your own life, problems in your life, heartache, tragedy, struggle, pressure, whatever that might be, stay steadfast in your faith. If you're being pressured from the outside, stay steadfast in your faith. Or maybe it's people on the inside and you're struggling with the way they're behaving, the way they're acting, what's happening in this church or maybe in another church, if you've read many headlines lately, stay steadfast in your faith. Paul says, no matter what the conditions are around you, there are three ways you can always stay steadfast in your faith. And remember, it's all about the gospel. You're grounded in the gospel. So first of all, he says, remember the power of the gospel. Remember the power of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. God himself has invested his power for salvation in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, nowhere else. But he's invested his power in that. And that means when you came to faith in Christ, he applied the power of the gospel to you to save you. So when you remember the power of the gospel, Paul breaks it down. He says, there's three other things to always remember. First, remember who you were. Remember who you were. Before you came to Christ, you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions. Alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions. The way we think and what we believe always dictates how we behave. And a person apart from Christ can never think and behave in a way that pleases God. In fact, and remember we looked at this last week, we are hostile toward God. Literally at war with God, the Bible says. And that starts with how we think about God, how we think about ourselves, how we think about creation. A myriad of circumstances we think about, but we're not thinking about those things and believing things the way God wants us to. And this is not neutral. The Bible says it's not neutral. You're either thinking the way God says, you're thinking in line with his truth, or you're thinking against his truth. You're hostile in your minds. In our time, we put it this way: God, this is my truth. Never mind God's truth. God, this is my truth. And God's response to that is you're at war in your mind with God. The Bible says you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind when you become a believer, but until that, you're hostile in your mind. And that produces evil actions. Because what you believe always dictates how you behave. Now, you're sitting there, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor Bob. I never did. Before I became a Christian, I don't remember doing anything explicitly evil, anything bad, anything even wrong. In fact, I'm a pretty good person. And I was a pretty good person before I came to Christ. And if you're not a believer in here this morning, you might think the same thing. I'm a pretty good person. Well, here's the problem. God doesn't measure your goodness by other people's goodness. God measures your goodness, in fact, your holiness, by his holiness. So any action that results from a mind that's apart from Christ is to God an evil action. You are playing out the plan of your life apart from Christ. To be steadfast in your faith and remember the power of the gospel, always remember, according to the Bible, not according to what you thought, but according to the Bible, who you were before you came to Christ. Then second, remember what Christ did. Paul says, remember what Christ did and what he did for you. But now, Paul says, he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death. Christ's crucifixion on the cross was the reconciling act of God that brought you out of your hostile environment into reconciliation with God, into relationship with God. Once you trusted him as your Savior, His crucifixion on the cross is what brought you back into relationship. It's what canceled that debt. It's what pardoned you from your sin. Now notice how specific Paul is here. In his physical body. Why be that specific? Because one of the bad ideas the Colossians were getting from outside the church, and which was now being brought into their new church from other Greek thinkers and philosophers, was the idea that anything, that any being or anything, any force that was divine, that we would call deity or divine, could not interact with anything material, that everything material, every substance material on planet Earth was evil by nature, just because it was material. So the idea that the Son of God, deity himself, could become a material man, no, they said that's not true. So they brought these bad ideas into the Christian church. Paul corrects them. He realigns them. He says, remember, Christ was physical and died a physical bodily death for you. He actually bled real human blood. God himself was on the cross for you. And it's because of that that you know what he's done for you. He has reconciled you through the body of Christ, through Christ himself. So then third, remember what God wants. Why would God do all this for you? Paul says, remember what he wants, to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. You went from hostile in mind and evil actions to Jesus Christ presenting you to the Father, holy, faultless, and blameless, right there before God. Take a few minutes, sometime this afternoon or evening, take a few minutes, get by yourself, and let this sink in. God wants you back. God wants you to stand before him, not as that sinner, hostile in mind, producing evil actions, but as one who is in Christ, faultless and blameless before him. That's why he did that for you. That's God's plan for you. Whenever you're wavering in your faith and you're struggling to stay steadfast, remember the power of the gospel. Remember that you did not save yourself, that Christ did that for you. And remember what he did for you. And remember that he wants you to be before the Heavenly Father, faultless and blameless, right beside him, and him saying, look at my child. Look at my child. That's God's plan for you. When you start to waver, waffle, struggle, when the pressure's too much, remember the power of the gospel has changed your condition and your position for all eternity. Second, when you need to stay steadfast in your faith, cling to the hope of the gospel. Cling to the hope of the gospel. Verse 23 follows. Paul says, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Because if you shift, if you waffle, if you waver, you lose sight of the hope of the gospel that you have. You lose sight of that moment that you'll stand before God blameless. But even more so, you lose sight of the hope you have now. You lose sight of the fact that in every struggle and heartache you go through now, God's in this with you. God is bringing you forward. God has hope in your circumstances. Why? Because he's in your circumstances. See, your hope is not a hope so kind of hope. It's not a thought out there. It's not a good feeling. Your hope is a person. Your hope is Christ himself. And you can cling to the hope that you have in Christ. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul would say, and that hope does not disappoint. Think about that. Your hope in Christ will never disappoint. Never disappoint. Never let you down. Paul says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit who was given to you. God gave you God so you would always have hope in him. You would live in that hope. Whatever season of life you're in, whatever struggles you go through, you have hope right now and you have hope for eternity. Those are absolutes because your God is with you. Research has shown that in 2008, the number one word that was Googled, Think about 2008 for a minute. In 2008, during the financial crisis, the number one word that was Googled was prayer. In 2020, during the COVID crisis, the number one word, the most Googled word, was faith. In the last 5 years, the number one Googled word is hope. It's hope. By nature, we are desperate for hope. In Christ, we have actual hope. We are grounded and steadfast, and you can cling to the hope of the gospel because it never changes. He never changes. He is your God. And then third, when you're struggling, you need to stay steadfast in your faith at all times. Serve in the truth of the gospel. Serve in the truth of the gospel. God called us to serve, not to sit, not to soak, not to be spectators, to be passive. In fact, serving Christ is a key component of your walk with Christ. And if you're not doing it, you're not only missing out what God wants to do through you, you're not growing in your faith the way God intends for you to. Now, I want you to understand what I'm not saying. I'm not saying by serving the truth of the gospel that you need to sign up for more stuff. Don't just add more stuff. Now, you know, do stuff, yeah. But don't just add stuff. Weigh yourself down. Feel burdened. It starts with a perspective that will lead to service in different ways and different kinds. And that perspective is that now that you're a believer, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're serving Him. It's the call to look upward and outward instead of looking at everything at ground level. You look at and you believe that God, even in the circumstances you're in right now, that God is at work in your circumstances. Paul says, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. This gospel, with the power of God to save, this gospel, he says, not another one. It's not diluted, it's not watered down, it's not changed. It's this gospel, Colossians, that saved you. It's this gospel that God's invested his power in. It's this gospel that I and everyone else who preaches and teaches the gospel, this gospel, is what we've spread. Now, he says it's been preached throughout all creation. Now, he doesn't mean by that the gospel has gone forth to every corner of creation by the time he writes this. What he means is everyone who's heard the gospel in creation has heard this gospel, not another one, not a gospel where God can't be in material form, not a gospel where God emanates down and then he's diluted and diminished in Christ. None of that they were being taught. No, this is the gospel where the Son of God is the Lord of all creation, the Lord of the church, the Lord of salvation, and died in bodily form in a physical body for you. This gospel, and this gospel in which God raised him from the grave. And then Paul says, I serve this gospel. Where was he when he said that? He was in prison. He was in prison. How easy it would have been to say, when I get out of prison, I'll serve this gospel. But see, Paul had come to understand something. Even in his suffering and strife, even having been stoned for the gospel, even having been beaten for the gospel, even having been jailed for the gospel, even having been shipwrecked for the gospel, all these things Paul knew, this one thing was the core of it all. Wherever I am, in whatever circumstances I find myself, I'm serving the gospel. I might not even understand it. But being in prison, this is my season for now. And in this season, I'm serving the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said. Do you know, history tells us when the Apostle Paul was in prison at this time, he was in a particular kind of arrest where he would have a Roman guard with him all the time. In the book of Philippians, he refers to it as the Praetorian Guard. And the Praetorians were Caesar's secret service, if we put it that way. They themselves had enormous power to decide who would be the emperor and who would not. So what Paul means is simply this. As a prisoner now, I have access to people that I wouldn't have access to do otherwise. I'm serving the gospel. You ever thought about, no matter how difficult your circumstances might be, in those circumstances, you might have access to people you would never have access to before. Had your circumstances not soured, would you have talked to that person? Would you have called that person? Would you have seen this doctor, seen this person? Have you ever considered that in the big picture, if you're serving the gospel, God has you exactly where he wants you to be all the time, in every way? Stay steadfast in your faith, grounded in the sureness of the gospel and the word of God. And remember that wherever you are serving Christ right there. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. Eyes up, look out, pay attention. What is God doing right where you are? And what does he want you to learn that will grow you in your faith? To stay steadfast in your faith, you have to remember God is working through you and working on you in this season of life. He works through you to impact other people. He works on you to make you more like Jesus Christ every day. In the 1980s, a group of scientists created a biosphere, an ecological sphere, covered up and self-contained. Now, the idea they had was that they would create a perfect environment, test it on Earth, and then eventually they believed we would build this same environment on Mars. And it would be an environment that people could live in. So they created this environment on Earth. They grew plants and flowers in there. They planted trees. And for a long time, the environment thrived. It was a pristine condition, a perfect environment, flowing water, growing trees, beautiful flowers, wonderful grass. And they watched with wonder and joy as their experiment unfolded and certainly was going just as it should go. And then one day they came in to check on their biosphere and they found that a tree had fallen. It just fell down. That was puzzling, but they thought, well, that's odd. You know, okay, maybe we'll lose one tree. We get that. The next day, it was another tree. Then it was another tree. Then one day, they were actually watching as one of the larger trees just fell over. They tested the trees for disease. They tested the trees for everything they could think of. They couldn't find anything wrong with the trees. And yet, nearly every tree that previously had been thriving in the biosphere eventually just fell over. Then they realized the problem. As perfect and pristine as the biosphere was, it lacked one thing the trees needed for strong roots: the wind. There were no storms in the biosphere. And in order for trees to be deeply rooted and to stand strong, now and then they need a little pressure and a little push. One of the scientists would write later, "The trees fell under the weight of their own perfection." If God's at work in your life, pay attention. In this season, whatever you're going through, stand fast in the power of the gospel, cling to the hope of the gospel, and be sure to serve in the truth of the gospel, because when you come out the other side, you're going to look back and say, wow, God was in this all along. I had no idea what he was doing, but now I see how he used me in that season and how he never let go of me. He never abandoned me. Put your hope in him. He knows what he's doing. Heavenly Father, in this hour, God, across this room, we're in different stages of our walk with Christ, going through different circumstances, and yet, in a way, they're all the same. Because in our circumstances, we choose right now if we're going to trust you, if we're going to serve you, if we're going to believe you for what comes next. I pray for us, God, that we would know your presence with us in this trial and this struggle and this pressure and circumstances, that we would know you're with us, God. I pray for that. But also pray, God, that you would lift the burdens, the struggles from us and help us, God, renew our faith. Help us to stay steadfast in you, grounded in the sureness of your word and your character, God. And thank you for the reminder that you never change and you know what's going on. And thank you, God, for the reminder that you never let go of us. You have a goal, you have a purpose for every one of us. And you'll get us there as we trust you. I pray for us today, God, and what decisions we need to make, whatever those might be. I pray for that one who's lost and needs Christ as their Savior. today would be the day they'd come to faith in Christ. I pray for that believer that's struggling, and those struggles may have pushed them off of that grounded foundation, that they're wavering and they're struggling. God, I pray today they'd come back to you. I pray, God, for believers that just need to make fresh decisions, fresh commitments, join fellowship with this church, whatever it is, God, you put on our hearts. I pray today will be the day we take those steps of faith that lead us, God, to action and service to you. Bless this time of response, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would move us to respond as you're calling us to respond today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.